Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, interestingly, the Apostle Paul not only tells us something about what heresy is in 1 Timothy 6:3, but he also gives us some of the causes of heresy in verses 4 and 5. And those are the ones that we are looking at now, and we'll continue in just a moment. Thank you for joining us on this Monday, June 21. Thank you for your financial gifts that make it possible to keep the Beacon Broadcast on this station. 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourself. That is quite a mouthful, and that is quite a description. Now, what are the causes of heresy? Remember, heresy is deviation from the Word of God. And a heretic is someone who is teaching things which are contrary to the Word of God. And what's at the root of this? What's causing a person to do this? Someone who has been exposed to the truth, but instead heads off in a deviant direction. What causes that? Well, we are told here, number one, pride. Number two, ignorance, knowing nothing, but probably willful ignorance, because it's possible to learn what the Bible says if you truly want to know, but when pride gets in the way and you don't really want to know, you really want to carve out something different, sometimes a new doctrine, a new angle, a new corner on Christianity, a new church, a new denomination, a new kingdom, of which I, of course, am in charge because I'm the one who started it. Oh. Pride, ignorance, and number three, a quarrelsome spirit. Did you catch all of that in verse 4? Obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. Obsessed with disputes and arguments over words. Disputes. Debates. Some people just love a fight. Of course, in the physical realm, there are people who really love to fight physically. Fist fights. In the world of ideas, there are people who just love to debate. You've heard about a person who loves to fight or will fight at the drop of a hat and will even drop the hat. I think that expression comes from the old Western days where dropping your hat on the ground or the floor was a signal to fight. It was an invitation to a fight. It was a challenge to a fight. So he'll fight the drop of a hat, and he'll even drop the hat. Okay, that's the way some people were in the rough and tumble Western days of the United States. There are a lot of people that are that way in the church when it comes to the Word of God, to doctrine. They would rather debate and argue than they would to learn. Again, some people don't want to learn, but they want to argue. Oh, they love to argue. If you read the Bible carefully and regularly, you will see sometimes when somebody, and I'm not going to try to get into any specific example at the moment, but you'll find a number of examples in the Bible where somebody does something that's contrary to God's word, and God doesn't seem to view it very harshly. seems to give them a pass. And somebody else will do something similar, and God comes down hard on them. And you look at that and you say, well, I don't see the difference. But of course, we don't see the heart, do we? It's all the attitude. Some people may deviate from what God has prescribed, and God sees the heart and realizes it was not an act of rebellion. It was not a deliberate attempt to become their own God, to set themselves up in opposition with God, and to set up their ideas and their words in opposition to the words which God has spoken. And God knows that because he sees the heart. He recognizes that this was a sincere attempt to honor God and to further his cause, even though they didn't understand everything completely and maybe were careless in not learning everything that they should have. But nevertheless, it was not a willful ignorance. It was an unintentional one. God doesn't view that harshly. Yeah, examples come to mind. What about the back in the days of Moses, when Moses was a little boy, and the Hebrew midwives defied the command of Pharaoh and kept the children alive when he told them to kill all the male children, and then when he questioned them about why so many of the male children were surviving when he told them to kill them, they told a lie. Now, doesn't the Bible say, thou shalt not bear false witness? Isn't it wrong to lie? But they told a lie. They told him that the Hebrew women were stronger than the Egyptian women, and that they delivered their children before the midwives could get there, which isn't actually the truth at all. They were delivering the Hebrew children and were saving them, sparing them, hiding them, preserving them in defiance of the king's command, because they were obeying the orders of a higher king. But here they were, caught between a rock and a hard place, because on the one hand, God's will is, thou shalt not kill, and they honored that. And on the other hand, God's will is, thou shalt not bear false witness, and they didn't honor that. Now, that can get you into a whole lot of theological discussions, but my point is this: God didn't judge them for lying. God honored them for taking sides on the right side of the issue. They aligned themselves with the Hebrews, the oppressed slave nation of Israel. They aligned themselves with the Jews, the Hebrews, and with the Hebrew God, even though they were Egyptians. That really is pretty hard to explain, except by the work of God's grace in their hearts, isn't it? I think you'd have to say that God did a work in their hearts and revealed himself to them and made them realize that he is the one true God and that they ought to obey him rather than man, even the king, even their own nation. And they took their sides against their own king and, in a sense, against their own people and against their own society and sided themselves with the people of God. And they lied in the process to cover their tracks, but they took the right side. Their hearts were right. Their understanding may have been faulty. They may not have known what to do and how to do it, and that would have been a difficult situation. I'm sure many of us would have been puzzled as to exactly how to handle that. But God, who sees the heart, saw that their hearts were right in what they did. Not perfect, because actually there are no perfect hearts, except those that are made perfect by the work of God, by the righteousness of Christ, which gives us a perfect standing before the judgment bar of God. And hearts will be made perfect when we are with the Lord and our sanctification is complete. But until then, there are no perfect hearts in any of us. And the most godly of men, there are no perfect hearts. So here were some relatively newcomers to the faith of Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And not surprising that they didn't get everything exactly right in all the details. Why, many of God's children who've grown up with his law and have known it all of their lives haven't done nearly as well as these gals did. God honored them. God did not judge them. Their hearts were obviously in the right place. And yet you can find others who deviated just a little bit from what God said, and God destroyed them. Like, who was it, Uzzah, when David was transporting the Ark of the Covenant to Israel and didn't transport it the way that God said? He put it on a cart rather than having it being borne on the shoulders of the priests. And they were going over the threshing floor of Uzzah, I think it was, which would have been a big, flat, rocky area and wouldn't have been perfectly smooth. And the cart was rattling around, and who was it? Was it Uzzah that reached out to steady the ark, to keep the ark from falling off? And God struck him dead. You say, wow, that's pretty severe. It looks pretty severe to me. If I had been viewing that situation and analyzing it, I would have said, well, it's obvious everything wasn't right, but his heart was in the right place. He was trying to steady the ark of God. He was trying to honor it. But, of course, the specific command of God was that nobody's to touch that but the priest. This is the Ark of the Covenant. This goes in the Holy of Holies. This is the place where God's law is kept and where God's presence and Shekinah glory is displayed. This is to be kept holy, reverent, separate, and is to be handled very carefully according to God's prescriptions. And David really was the one who was responsible because he was careless in all of this. But what was the issue? I presume that God, who sees the heart, saw pride, saw arrogance, saw defiance, saw rebellion. I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm not God. I don't have to explain God. I don't have to defend God. I'm just observing what I read. One time God is very lenient. Another time God is very harsh to us, it seems. Well, God is God. And we know one thing. One thing I know is that God never does wrong. God is holy. God cannot sin. God doesn't lose his temper and get petulant. Nothing like that. That's impossible. That's impossible by the very character and nature of God. When there's something that God does that I don't understand, I acknowledge I don't understand. My understanding is the problem. And if my mind were great enough to comprehend the mind of God, then my mind would have to be equal with God's. If I could comprehend God in everything, in every regard, I can certainly understand some things about him because he has revealed himself to the minds of men in some ways. But there are many things about him that I don't understand. And God has chosen not to reveal himself in every detail. In fact, because of the difference between the creature and the creator, it's impossible for him to reveal himself in every detail. It's just impossible. The gap's too great. Well, I remember that. I acknowledge that. I take all that into account. And therefore, I don't quarrel with God. I don't fault God. I don't criticize God. But many people do, don't they? Heretics. That's often what the problem is. They've got a beef with God. Their pride. And their ignorance, willful ignorance, causes them to have a quarrelsome spirit toward God. They want to debate God. They want to argue with God. They want to set God straight. That's not the right position. I guess you understand that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.